As Bond hurtled round the bend, caressing the great car against the camber with an easy sway of body and hands, he was working out his plan of action when the distance between the two cars had narrowed still further. He imagined that the enemy driver would try to dodge off into a side road if he got the chance. So when he got round the bend and saw no lights ahead, it was a normal reflex to ease up on the accelerator, and when he saw the Michelin post, to prepare to brake. He was only doing about 60 as he approached the black patch across the right-hand crown of the road, which he assumed to be the shadow cast by a wayside tree. Even so, there was no time to save himself. There was suddenly a small carpet of glinting steel spikes right under his offside wing. Then he was on top of it. Bond automatically slammed the brakes full on and braced all his sinews against the wheel to correct the inevitable sharp slew to the left, but he only kept control for a split second. As the rubber was flayed from his offside wheels and the rims for an instant tore up the tarmac, the heavy car whirled across the road in a tearing dry skid, slammed the left bank with a crash that knocked Bond out of the driving seat onto the floor, and then, facing back up the road, it reared slowly up, its front wheels spinning and its great headlights searching the sky. For a split second, resting on the petrol tank, it seemed to paw at the heavens like a giant praying mantis. Then, slowly, it toppled over backwards and fell with a splintering crash of coachwork and glass. In the deafening silence, the near-side front wheel whispered briefly on and then squeaked to a stop. Le Chiffre and his two men only had to walk a few yards from their ambush.
"Put your guns away and get him out," he ordered brusquely. "I'll keep you covered. Be careful of him. I don't want a corpse. And hurry up. It's getting light."